Hey everybody, David Burns here. Welcome back to the Food Mentor Podcast. Today we're chatting with Leanne White, the General Manager of Grocery Merchandise for Coles Supermarkets. I was lucky enough to work with Leanne a long time ago at BP Australia as we set about re-engineering the convenience store industry between 2006 and 2009. And I was also a buyer at Coles between 1995 and around 2004. Today we chat through Leanne's career journey and of course, life at Coles. We unravel some key insights that makes Coles one of Australia's leading retailers. We chat through gender equality and females in retail, store formats, health in every aisle, and tips and tricks for small to medium enterprises and startup brands wishing to be ranged at Coles, and much, much more. This is a really fabulous, insightful chat with Leanne, and one you don't want to miss. I hope you enjoy this podcast. This episode of the Food Mentor Podcast is brought to you by the far north Queensland-based Outback Pie Company, Australia's leading innovators when it comes to pies, sausage rolls, and now French-style pastry bakes. The Outback Pie Company won the 2023 7-Eleven Innovation Award for their delicious pastry bakes, including butter chicken, peppered steak, and there are more delicious new flavours to follow. Hey everybody, David here. Welcome back to the Food Mentor Podcast. And today I'm absolutely delighted to be joined by Leanne White, who's one of the Coles General Managers, General Manager of Grocery Merchandise. Sounds such an enormous role, doesn't it? I worked with Leanne back in 2006 through to about 2009 at BP Australia in those transformative years. And it's just great to work with Leanne, and equally as great to see Leanne's career unravel how it has. So welcome, Leanne.
Thank you so much for having me. I mean, it's great to reconnect after all that time. I mean, I've done a lot of thinking of when we worked together, and definitely transformation was a word that definitely played out. So it's good to reconnect.
No, excellent. I think it was 14 years ago last time we saw each other. So hello again.
It's been a little while.
You look exactly the same, by the way.
Well, you know, life's been kind.
So let's chat about, first of all, kick off with your career. I mean, it's an amazing story. And I really love the, you know, we talk to a lot of buyers with what we do, and I'm not sure whether this has been deliberate over the years, and particularly at Coles, but the amount of female category managers and buyers is literally would be 70-80% of the people that we deal with. So, and I think it's not massively dissimilar at Coles. So has that happened accidentally, or has that been deliberate, or somewhere in the middle?
Probably somewhere in the middle, I would say. There's been a huge change in the industry over such a significant period of time. I remember when I was at Coles the first time. So I started off my career within Coles. I did 11 years at Coles, started off with stores, worked my way through stores while I was studying uni, and then decided to leave uni and work full time, and that was at Coles, and I got to cut my teeth on all things operational. And then I got discovered the support centre and discovered buying, and felt that was a natural transition for me to step into. But it was really hard to step out of stores and into the support centre in a buying capacity. So I ended up stepping in as a buyer's assistant. And at that time, I can tell you, all but two category managers were male.
Yeah.
Because the talent pipeline then, you might have been a category manager or a merchandise manager.
Probably.
Back then when I was there. That profile around talent planning was very much driven from the store manager population.
Correct.
So therefore, when I was in stores, all the store managers were male as well because of the challenges around flexibility, and that was just how it was.
Yeah.
So if we go to where we are today, I would say we're probably 60-40 split of my team around female category managers versus male category managers. We always look to try and get the right balance either way, as long as it's around right people, right role. But there has been a significant change, and I think with how we look at talent pipelining around, you know, developing great talent, sourcing incredible individuals, but also providing a broader level of flexibility has really unlocked opportunity. And I look at some of the work that some of my state-based colleagues have done. If I look at the store manager population, we're running at 40-60. So 40% of the store managers are women now. And again, when I go back to my early part of my career, that just would never have happened.
But yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah, there's been a huge change, which obviously fosters the talent for tomorrow.
Totally. No, it's brilliant. And I also read on your profile that you've been involved in six different categories at Coles before you were appointed into your current role. So you'd have to be right up there with, you know, the most experienced, knowledgeable person in Coles across the entire supermarket.
I'll make that my personal brand now, the most knowledgeable person across Coles. Probably 100%. Not. But no, I've had a really great tasting plate of different experience across fresh, ambient, frozen businesses, and also at different levels. So it's given me a really good cross-section of not only different customer profiles and how do you solve different needs, but also different seasonal aspects. One of my favourite roles was when I was a seasonal buyer in the bakery team. Mm. So I was accountable for hot cross buns and puddings for Christmas, which was a high-pressure job. You're a bit quieter between the peaks, but you're in the planning cycle, but you learn lots of skills and learn how to make quick decisions fast because you're in that middle of the event.
100%.
So, lots of different people, met with so many different suppliers, seen different supply chains, different products, lots of innovation over the years. Cool stuff.
Great. We were joking before around our time at BP. We did an advanced negotiation skills course together with Scots, a bit of a plug for Scots. And we were on different teams and you were very, very good, almost terrifying, in fact. And clearly that's played out well over your journey.
I'd like to say my personal brand's evolved from terrifying to firm but fair.
That's good.
Yeah, no, I've definitely enjoy working with others to find, you know, a really great solution for whatever, but also a little bit competitive.
Yeah, no, not much. Hey, also, we were chatting about, like, obviously culturally it's amazing because I'd got an auto signature from you on your auto email reply that said, I'm Coles value work-life balance and I'm on leave. So, you know, didn't quite say go away, but, you know, I'm not answering emails until I'm back from leave, which I thought, oh, how refreshing is that? I'm going to put that on mine, I think.
It's so important. Like, I think, like with leadership just generally, you've got to lead by example and, you know, getting some healthy leave habits in and, you know, turning off, because the industry that I work in is hugely demanding. We've got stores open all over the country. We've got stock moving at all times and we're fighting hard every day to ensure we're giving an incredible customer experience. So you are available all the time. However, when I'm on leave, I am definitely on leave. So need to be present for the family because there's times that I'm not. Yes. But also I like to give my team development opportunities. So you can't give them the reins if you're going to be like a catch-all sitting behind them. So, yes, culturally a huge progress forward. It's amazing to be able to tap out and really recharge with the people that matter.
Oh, that's fabulous. That's fabulous. So if we just move on now to the supermarket itself and have a chat about the store formats and, you know, the turn of phrase, you know, sort of macro space. It must, with what your role specifically, it must be a real challenge trying to understand, you know, what's the best way to divvy up the store with all the categories before you get into the micro detail of planograms. But there must be a constant battle on, geez, should we open up on this or close down on that?
Well, I think the thing is around being agile. So when you think of a traditional supermarket, to change every supermarket is a hugely expensive task, but also from a customer pain point is something that, as a shopper, you go into store and the things that you would normally find in aisle X and Y are no longer where they normally are. It's quite frustrating. So we're very deliberate with when we touch our stores specifically for that reason, because we keep the customer at the heart of how we lay out our stores. But there's always this healthy tension around moving in line with customer demand as well. Mm. So if you think of some of the categories, if, you know, back in the day, God loved baked beans, and lots of our customers love baked beans, but they love them a little bit less than what they did back in the 80s. Same with like canned soups, you know, an important category, but less important than where it was. And then we've had this huge explosion in ranges like sports and diet, where there's a huge amount of innovation, there's a huge amount of customer interest, where customers are looking for full solutions for their sports and diet needs that we need to balance the space with. So we're always using advanced analytics to try and help us to really tailor the specific range that we have within our incredible stores to be tailored to the customer and the customer needs in the local demographic. And then just for a further layer of complexity, because we service our online customers as well, we've also got to keep that in mind. So not only are we tailoring it for the local communities that we're serving, but we want to present a really credible range for our online customers, because they're they're not thinking about bricks and mortar. They're just thinking about, can I get what I need and can it be delivered in time and in full?
And that's grown exponentially sort of through and post-COVID as well, hasn't it?
100%. Yeah. 100%. There's also a really big trend at the moment with customers with the cost of living pressures using online as a safe way to really manage their budgets. You can do that. You can treat yourself. You can absolutely treat yourself, but you can also control your spending. So it takes away some of those, you know, factors where you might be influenced with how you're feeling at that moment, or you see a display of something, so you're less disrupted. Yep. And you can do that from the comfort of your own home.
Yeah, amazing. And then just on this topic then, obviously, can we talk about the health in every aisle movement? So obviously, no secret, there has been an amazing health food aisle with pretty much everyone, including Coles. And obviously there's a shift, we're in the middle of a shift, or it's complete around the sum or all, correct me if I'm wrong, of the healthy products being embedded into their main category.
Yeah, well, this comes back to a big trend around customers looking for more health in more categories. So I'm really passionate around making our customers' health easy. Now, health is such a gigantuan statement, and it means something to every person a little bit different. One of the limitations that we created for ourselves was in a health foods aisle, what does actually health foods mean? And what we found, what was really clear, was that we were starting to put different unique products in that aisle that didn't really support a full customer experience. And the simplest one that I would normally talk to is around cereals. So we had the mainstay cereal aisle, and you think about a high penetration category and a highly penetrated aisle from that perspective. And then we had all our gluten-free products sitting in the health foods aisle. And as a shopper who had family members that were gluten-free or celiac that needed gluten-free support but also wanted to buy it for the rest of the family, they were having to go to two different aisles. So bringing that experience together actually helps our customers to find their health easier because it's all together under that one mission.
Makes total sense.
So we're currently transitioning more and more products into the core categories. Even we were talking about confectionery before, a sometimes food but also a delicious one. Vegan chocolate sitting in the health foods aisle when we know that people who are flexitarians want to, you know, pick up their Capri dairy milk but also pick up their wonderful Coles free from
100%. And the classic example I'm involved with is Karma Bites popped lotus seeds are now next to the popcorn, which makes total sense. And it's been good outcome as well. So happy days.
It is. Like, you know, there's obviously some products which are less intuitive. Like the ones I was speaking about were quite intuitive. So we just got to work with our customers and migrate them accordingly. But also it just opens up that opportunity because what we're seeing is a lot of the innovation in all categories has really got a strong health bias. So to bring that all together gives the customers best choice to find what they're looking for.
100%, 100%. Love your views on, obviously, we tic-tac with quite a few small to medium brands and manufacturers and startups on, love your sort of tips and tricks on, you know, or advice on what's the best way to approach Coles, work with Coles. A lot of, some of the people I deal with are not sure whether they should or shouldn't be dealing with Coles. What's your recommendations on that, Leanne?
Well,
I'm going to love this.
Working for Coles for over 25 years, obviously I'm a bit of a biased fan on why not Coles, so pick up the phone. I think the first thing that I often say to people who are a little bit intimidated by the Coles brand, remember we're just people. We're people who are Australians who get up every day and want to provide incredible solutions for customers and be successful with great supplier partners. So firstly, just remember we're people. The second thing I would always encourage is be clear of what you're trying on your intention. We get lots of correspondence and lots of communication. So we love efficiency. So sometimes without the journey, what are we trying to achieve? You're looking to list four products in the confectionery aisle. Your vision for your brand is around health. You see that there's an opportunity in a customer need because your research says X and Y. And this is our manufacturing capability. We can service this amount of volume. And then it allows us to start stepping into the conversation with some facts, and therefore we can start unpeeling the layers of the conversation and getting into really clear conversations around where there might be opportunities, where there could be considerations and things to think about, case pack sizes, marketing support, mm-hmm. how are you thinking about getting your brand out there? Is it a national ranging? Is it a trial? And we can work through together. So there's some brands that I knew you were obviously going to ask me that question because of the people you work with. So it's an obvious one. But a couple of things I think are interesting and things that we love. I caught up with Mutti today and it reminded me that Coles was the first retail partner of Mutti, and we launched Mutti 13 years ago. And then I thought about that again and I was like, I remember catching up with the team from Dilma, and Dilma launched in the Australian market first with Coles. And then I think about Carmen's.
Carmen's, oh my God.
Carmen's started in 13 stores in Victoria exclusively with Coles. So we do have a really I wouldn't be intimidated with engaging with us. I think if you have that clarity and passion and you know what you're trying to achieve from a consumer set, we will be very open and transparent with you of how we can partner together or where things make sense.
Yeah.
And therefore, you never know what comes out of it. You could be the next Mutti, Dilma, Carmen's.
Amazing.
Or we find pathways to go, that doesn't quite make sense for either of us, and you go and find your fortunes elsewhere. Yeah. But I think that transparency and conversation is always
important.
That's
amazing. How good is that advice? That was great. Thanks so much for that. So with obviously you rely heavily on the major suppliers for some of the consumer and trend insight to help with ranging decisions. But obviously I would imagine you use your own data as well. And
100%.
Tell us about, to give us the gory detail, but I'd love to know your approach on, your own research and what you do with it and how you use it.
We're quite data rich because a lot of our decision making is really focused around what's right for the customer. And to know what's right for the customer, there's lots of data points that we use to really synthesize that. So if I take a step back to go a step forward, firstly, the teams work on an annual cycle around category planning where they get all insights from across the business to really synthesize what strategies they're really going to deploy in the year and the year and a half ahead. But also that's really rich in key customer trends. So if we were to talk about any today, or the one that I was recently reading this morning, is around, we've got an early pulse check around how customers are feeling about Christmas. So no surprises, customers are looking forward to Christmas because that's when they catch up with their friends and family and the people that matter most. But 20% are more concerned than last year about how they're going to find this year's Christmas as affordable as it was last year. So that's already, 20% more than last year are thinking about how they're going to make this Christmas special. And of that, there are a whole chunk of customers that are really thinking now about not eating out for Christmas. They're going to eat from home because that's a way for people to manage their budgetary spend. So as a retailer, I'm going, okay, do I have enough stock? So we do all the seasonal buying, particularly around the incredible biscuits and cookies and cranberry sauces, and there's some incredible products on its way out that's based on trends and insights that we know from our customers at that point in time, and we also have a future view. But that's just another example of another input that helps us to make data-informed decisions. We have lots of information with sales data. We have lots of engagement with our consumer base. And then obviously we look at a lot of the macro trends that are happening locally but also internationally. Mintel's a great data source to get some fingers on the pulse of how things are happening. But also nowadays, honestly, things are evolving that you can get some great insights off TikTok, which I cannot believe I'm saying.
There you go.
I'm a late adopter. My daughter is a very big user. But there's a really good way to get a real sense quite quickly. And one of the trends that we saw, it was only 6 months ago, there was a TikTok viral hack happening where customers were buying Uncle Toby's roll-ups, putting ice cream in them and having them as an ice cream sandwich. And all of a sudden sales in Uncle Toby's roll-ups went through the roof because everyone's having a crack at it. But again, another data point, which is probably non-conventional, that helps us to point in the directions of where our customers are.
Amazing. That's hilarious. There you go, Zach, TikTok. That's great. Let's chat about some private label. No secret, Coles have got an amazing private label strategy, primarily Coles Finest, and there's a Coles Organic. And I was amazed this morning, I did a bit of research, and there's a whole raft of, let's call it, exclusive brands in every single category. It's like brilliant job, I must say. I was flabbergasted.
Yeah, it's amazing. I really love being part of those. I think the thing around what's really important from my perspective as a retailer, I want to give my customers an incredible value proposition, but also something that makes them come into my store as opposed to anybody else.
Totally.
So I'm trying to curate an incredible range that just makes it so special that, you know what, every time I need to get a certain product, I go to Coles because I can only get that product. So we have Coles brand products, which are products we're incredibly proud of, in incredible growth because they're really helping our customers to manage their overall basket spend. Mm-hmm. And the quality of the products are phenomenal. Mm. But then we've got some other ones that are slightly up in the tiering. So before we get to Coles Finest, so one of my favorites, Cucina Matisse, which is an Italian brand sourced directly from Italy, the most gorgeous pastas, passatas and pasta sauces, which are my personal favourites, are flying because the quality is second to none. Yeah. You can't get anything like in the market. It's at an incredible price. It's not the cheapest in the category, but it's at a really affordable price that allows you to have a slightly better quality of pasta at something that's affordable. But then we stretch into Coles Finest. Now, one of our biggest Finest lines is our Coles Finest maple syrup.
Yeah.
I cannot keep that stuff on shelf. Like, honestly, $6, incredible quality, straight from Canada, some incredible quality stories and bloody delicious.
We forget that delicious products are the backbone of everything we do, right?
100%. Customer satisfaction.
Yeah, totally, 100%. That's great. So promotional programs and promotions and, you know, versus everyday low price. I know over the years, which is, you know, quite a long time for me, there's been some pendulum swinging, or do we do too many promotions, or should this product be everyday low priced? And, you know, from what I can see with what we do, that magic yellow ticket is still pretty key.
Yeah, well, it depends on the product and category, to be fair. So you talked about insights earlier. We use a lot of data and analytics to understand elasticity of certain categories and what makes sense from a customer point of view. So if I think about it this way, two things that are really important. So when I think about every day, it's around price dependability. So certain products that I want to depend on that are in my basket, high frequency, I know that these products are at this price and I can plan my budget around them because they're such a core staple for me.
Bag of flour?
Totally. Yep. Good example. Plenty of those. So we've got a whole tranche of products that are committed on that pricing model. Then we've got our promotions. And what we're seeing since we've come out of COVID actually is how excited our customers are getting over half price. So half price is performing greater than what it was pre-COVID, which is something that people are planning their shop around. And in recent customer listening sessions, the way that customers are really adopting the catalog, even more so than pre-COVID, is around planning their weekly spend. So I know we were talking a bit offline before, you were curious about the catalog usage. So we've pivoted to an exclusive digital catalog, and we did that through COVID. And there is just so much amazing feedback from customers going, I love to get on the app at 5 p.m. on a Monday because I can see what specials are on in Coles for the week ahead so I can plan my week around that.
Yeah, amazing.
So it's really, like, to be fair, it's basically product specific and category specific and things that obviously resonate with the customers, because at the end of the day, we're all here to find great solutions to pull volume and give our customers great satisfaction, and we can only sell the volume if they're satisfied.
No, totally. That's fabulous. Some really amazing insights there. Thank you so much. We particularly loved the your reminder to everyone that all the buyers are all humans and real people.
They're amazing people. I'm super proud of my team. So they're probably time poor. Well, we're all time poor. I think everyone's time poor nowadays. We've got loads of commitments. But I just think reach out and connect 100%. Because, they're incredible people that, you know.
Yeah, I say to people that if your life depended on it, you could find out who the right person to talk to is. So there's my advice.
Oh, 100%. Everyone finds everyone. But, I'm happy to share my email address. Yeah. There's no qualms around that. And then obviously our buyer's contact or our category manager's contact details are on our supplier portal.
That's really fantastic. Mm. And really appreciate your time. I know you've got a particularly crazy schedule, so really grateful for you coming in today and having a good old chat to us.
No problem at all. Thrilled to be here.
And thank you so much.
Thanks.